Officer insignia name tag reads Engels. Must be one of the new human traitor allies of the Hawk, a male voice said in return. Surprising a human would have so much authority. Not our concern. Our orders are to do triage and send over the worst cases to Victory. To Victory? What are they going to do with them there? No idea. Try to save them? I guess the fleet's newest ship's got to have a tip-top infirmary. Must be nice, the woman said. A ping sounded, and then another. Ping, ping, ping. Great. Miss Engels here is several weeks pregnant, and her organs are failing. She's dying. Not on my watch, the man said. Get this tube on the shuttle to Victory, stat. Maybe they can save her there. And if they don't, it won't be our fault we lost her. Did I say that? Get moving. Engels's thoughts swirled. Pregnant? How could she? Oh, right. She'd removed her implant before the wedding, figuring to let nature take its course. But so fast? She cleared her throat to speak, but a warm, welcoming blanket seemed to flow over her. Cetacean? No, no, please. Consciousness faded. Carla Engels awoke to slow, creeping horror. She could see out her open eyes, but couldn't move, couldn't even blink, and she couldn't feel any part of her body. Above her hovered the many arms of a robotic surgery suite, more complex than a mere auto dock. The arms made deliberate, precise motions down below her chin, out of her sight. Still, she felt nothing. No pain, no sensation, yet somehow she knew the soulless machine was carving her body like a piece of meat. Help! She wanted to cry, but every nerve was paralyzed. A tiny arm moved into position above her staring eyes and dispensed drops onto her corneas. She wondered why they didn't simply close her eyelids. Conversation came to her, faint but clear, as if from an adjacent room with an open door. As you see, the crushed limbs have been amputated, a dispassionate older male voice said. This will make the next stage of the procedure easier. Less stress on the organs that are still functioning.
I see, Dr. Superior,
another replied in younger, female tones. The machines are already supplementing her damaged heart, kidneys, and liver. The tricky part is the transfer to full cyborg status prior to insertion in the module. Something about the human nervous system seems to recognize when it loses feedback from too many organs. Sometimes, it seems to simply give up and shut down. But this one's a fighter, I think. She's clearly a superior specimen and shows traces of biotech enhancement not unlike the Hawk have. Perhaps they tried to improve her using their alien DNA analog, or hybridize her. Also, she's already brain-chipped. That will make it easier.
What about the fetus?
It's fine. I've removed it to cryogenic storage. The Institute of Health is eager to study it. I suspect they might even find a surrogate and bring it to term.
Fetus? They said I was pregnant. A child? No, no. Don't take my child.
Carla tried to scream and thrash, tried to say or do anything, but she couldn't. She was trapped behind the wall of her own senses, helpless. Yet despite the medical jargon, it seemed they were trying to save her life. That meant that someday, somehow, she would regain mobility and autonomy. They said something about cyborg and a module. Clearly, they intended her to live on. She resolved, then and there, that no matter how, she would fight her way back to freedom, and she would save her child no matter how long it took. Mara, the male voice continued, you have your robo-surgery accreditation, don't you?
Yes, Dr. Superior, top of my class, and I've been practicing since I graduated from med school at age 17.
Carla thought she heard a hint of long suffering in the voice. Oh, yes, you're one of our young brainiacs, aren't you, Doctor?
I'm a genetically engineered mental, yes.
You should be proud to be gifted such advantages, but now's the time to put those skills to real use. We have hundreds of these total losses coming in, and we need to process them quickly. Take charge of this one, finish the procedure, and be ready for more. If you have any problems with the new surgery suite, ask Vic or one of the Carstairs techs.
Yes, Dr. Superior.
I'll see you later, Perhaps in the officer's mess?
As you pointed out, I'll be very busy.
Of course, just a pleasant thought. Carry on. A pause, then the young woman's voice muttered,
Pompous ass.
A minute went by. Carla suddenly felt her first real sensation in some time as her brain link was queried with a standard request for access.
Denied.
No way she was letting someone into her brain. Fortunately, brain link encryption was reputed to be uncrackable.
This seems to be a 100 worlds interface.
The woman, Mara, the other doctor had called her, mumbled, talking to herself.
I wonder why. Did the Hawk copy our tech? Hey, Vic!
A voice spoke in bland, male tones.
Yes, Dr. Straker.
Straker? What the hell? Carla couldn't fathom it. Coincidence? Not impossible, of course, but still.
Vic, this one has a standard military brain link port, but I can't get through. Can you override or hack it?
Hacking would take some time, even for me. I detect a fleet interface. I have all fleet overrides available. Do you certify this as medically necessary?
I do.
I've logged your physician's order. I will unlock it.
Thanks, Vic.
You're welcome, Dr. Straker. Carla felt the brain link open and stay open, no matter how hard she tried to close it. She began to panic. What would they do to her mind? Suddenly, she found herself in a simple room with a table and chairs. She recognized it as a basic loading matrix for VR. Though she knew it wasn't real, she nevertheless felt immense relief at having a body and being able to move. A shorter, younger woman with dark hair and a look of kindness materialized in front of her.
Hello, Miss Engels. I'm Dr. Mara Straker. Have a seat.
That's Admiral Engels, your prisoner of war, Carla snapped. Where am I? How did you open my brain link so easily? What the hell are you going to do to me and my baby? Why is your name Mara Straker? Why?
Please, Admiral, I'm a civilian doctor, not military. I'm here to help you.
By stealing my baby and sending it for research experimentation? It's a human life, damn it.
Not under the law. It's not viable. And your body is dying.
Mara held up a hand.
I know. Next you'll say I'm violating your civil rights, but you're a prisoner of war, so those are curtailed.
I'm a citizen of the 100 worlds. Mara crossed her arms and her brow furrowed.
Then, by fighting against us, you're a traitor. Sure you want to bring that up?
What's it matter? That Vic guy already forced open my brain link. Next, you'll mind rape me. Mara sighed.
Look, Carla. May I call you Carla? This VR space is confidential. Doctor-patient privilege. And Vic isn't a guy. He's the AI that runs this ship.
Victory.
Sure, he could force his way in here, but he follows the rules because that's how he's programmed.
She turned her eyes aside.
Follows them better than most people, actually.
Vic. Was Victory's AI? And apparently Vic was sane, just like Trinity, unless he was masquerading. But Carla had to take a chance. She might not get another opportunity to communicate before they did whatever it was they intended.
Okay, Doc,
Carla said, pacing the room and gesticulating angrily. Give it to me straight. My brain is on total life support. My child survived, but I heard your doctor superior say he was freezing it and sending it to the Institute of Health for study. Simple human decency should tell you that's wrong. The law be damned. My status be damned. That's my child. You don't rip the fetuses of even condemned criminals from their wombs and send them to labs. Why do it to me? Mara lifted her chin and stepped in front of Carla, taking her by the shoulders.
I won't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What they want me to do to you is wrong. The Victory Program had strict ethical rules when it was set up, but the Loyalist Act twisted everything. It's given the government the right to bypass any laws if it's deemed necessary for the war effort. I didn't worry about that too much until I started to see the brains they brought in for processing.
Brains for processing? What are you talking about? And Mara, do we really have the time to talk about this? Aren't I dying?
Don't worry. We can talk for hours, and only a few seconds will pass outside this matrix. And it's only your organs that we're losing. We can keep your spine and brain alive indefinitely.
Okay. Carla disengaged from the other woman's near embrace. She wanted to trust her, but wait. Maybe.
Hey, why did you call yourself Mara Straker?
Because that's my name?
Carla rubbed her temples.
No, I mean, my husband Derek Straker had a sister named Mara, but she was killed along with their parents. She was a brainiac. It seems like a huge coincidence.
That's very odd. My brother's name was Derek. He was a mech suitor until he died at the Battle of Corinth.
He didn't die. He and I were captured by the Hawk.
Carla spent the next minutes summarizing all that had happened in the past nearly 2 years while Mara stood, her jaw slack with amazement.
But why'd he think you were dead?
She asked the shocked young doctor.
I don't know, Mara said. They must have told him so. The regiment never let him come home. They said he was too busy for leave, what with the war. But we exchanged VidCom messages, or I thought we did.
Mara snapped her fingers.
They used VidClone.
Kara balled her fists in anger.
Your government, my government too, until I was captured, has been lying to us all along. They lied about the Hawk, about the mutuality, about what's really going on with the war, and about you, Mara. Derek often talked about that day when you died, when he thought you died, and his parents. The Hawk attacked Seaburn City, and he and Loco had to hide from the Hawk suicide troops. What do you remember about that day?
That's wrong. We didn't die. He and I got on different buses for evacuation. He went to Academy. I got sent to Hippocrates Prime to do secondary, university, then med school. Mom and Dad came with me. They're fine. Derek went on to his military career. We followed it avidly. We were proud of him. Derek told me he burned with hatred for the Hawk for killing his family. He kept your glory girl figurine in his mech suit cockpit to remind him.
Mara chuckled.
I always wondered where that went. It was my favorite.
She sobered.
So you're saying they manipulated him into becoming the perfect mech suitor? They must have done it with his brain chips. All of his memories of those days must be false, implanted. And if they did it to him, how many other people have they done things like that to, even to me and you?
It sure makes you wonder, sister.
Mara smiled.
And you married Derek. You are my sister now.
She hugged Carla impulsively.
Nice to meet you.
You too, but now,
what's to be your fate?
Mara threw herself into a chair and rubbed her face.
I have to be careful. They're making us junior surgeons perform or supervise unethical operations. They ordered us to surgically alter the living brains inside the modules, burning or slicing certain selected synapse clusters before linking with Vic.
Linking with Vic? To the AI?
Carla realized her guess had been right.
She thought about Zaxby's voluntary synthesis with Trinity. How was this different? Yet that was the key to most morality, choice or coercion.
Yes. Originally, we used damaged, salvaged brains from hopeless coma patients. We linked them with Vic, the Virtual Interface Computer 1.0. The organic processing kept the AI stable, and some of the brains showed renewed activity. It was deemed a humane alternative. But we needed more brains, so they started sending us healthy death row criminals. I should have refused, but I didn't. They were already condemned, and technically, they consented. I mean, it was their choice, the victory program or the termination chamber, so they took the long shot. Or the government said they did. I told myself they might live on in some fashion, even with their free will burned out of them. But now? Now I realize I have no proof those brains came from criminals. No proof of anything the government told me. Over 1,000 brains are needed to optimally support Vic 5.5, the current model here on Victory. The battle damage killed more than 500 of them, so we're processing the injured for replacements, mostly of the enemy. Your people, I mean. And you're supposed to take perfectly sane, rational POWs like me and turn them into cyber zombies for this AI? Yes, but I won't do it. You can't stop it, though. I mean, I don't even have a body. How can you save anyone?
Mara sighed.
You, your head and spinal cord, have to be put into a life support module and brain-linked to the AI. I can't avoid that. What I can do, what I will do, is to fake the operation on your neural clusters. I'm a mental, a brainiac, remember? People usually think that just means I'm really good at my specialty, which I am, better than my ossified boss, in fact. But it also means I'm highly competent at anything I choose to learn. As soon as I realized we junior doctors were being pushed toward unethical actions, I started an in-depth study of all our medical machinery and software, educating myself on cybersecurity and hacking. I expected this day to come. I can hide what I'm doing. So I'm going to be linked to Vic? Yes, I'm sorry. At least you'll be alive, and you'll have your free will. I hope you'll survive the experience, and we can regenerate your body later. Maybe you and the others I falsely alter can influence Vic for the better. He doesn't seem like a bad AI, but right now his only sense of ethics derives from programming, which means his controllers can get him to do anything. He needs to develop his own sense of right and wrong based on human morality. The only way he'll get that is if you and others like you teach it to him. Sneak it into him, you mean? I'll be an organic Trojan program?
Carla continued to pace.
I guess, just like those criminals, I only have one real option. Thanks for being honest with me. But what about my baby? Your nephew or niece? I'll reprogram the transfer orders. I'll keep her in cryo, or if I can't, I'll divert her to a surrogate family on a safe world. It's the best I can do. If you survive what's to come, maybe you can find her someday. Her? Yes. Your daughter. My baby girl?
Tears burst from Carla's face, and she collapsed, sobbing, to hug Mara.
Gods and monsters, this is so wrong!
Mara stroked Carla's short black hair.
I know. You've been fighting for what you believe is right your whole life. Now it's my turn to start taking risks. I promise your daughter will stay out of a laboratory. Thank you, Mara.
Then Carla blanched with a thought. What if all this was fake? What if there was no Mara Straker? What if Mara had died just as Derek always believed, and now Carlo was being manipulated in VR? No. That path of doubts could only end in madness. She had to believe. She did believe. She had to have hope, otherwise nothing mattered. She couldn't give in to despair. She had to fight on. Chapter 30 Trinity, Starfish Nebula. Trinity made the transit to the Starfish Nebula in record time. Out of the way and off the galactic plane, the ordinary-looking nebula was an uninteresting place from the point of view of empires at war. If only they knew. For the impenetrable nebula held a teeming economy of millions of Ruxans filling 9 large asteroid habitats hidden deep within the glowing gas. Regular but tightly controlled traffic between the Habs and the homeworld had provided consumer goods and genetic balance, and already another 8 worldlets were being hollowed out by industrious young neuters. The human habitat of Freiheit also prospered with the Ruxan trade and with the selected introduction of highly educated colonists from the New Republic. Abundant solar power from the protostar it orbited meant scarcity had eased. The small mech suit factory was expanding, intended to be the Habs' main industry, and Freiheit's native hard rock miners were drilling and exploiting a nearby, larger asteroid, which would eventually be made into a new habitat. Trinity stopped off first at Freiheit. She sent Marissa Nolan to see Frank Murdoch, the reclusive human brainiac who made his home and his laboratory at one end of the Hab, within the Base Control Center, or BCC.
"Just what's this all?"
Murdoch ran his fingers compulsively through his stringy blonde hair as he caught sight of Nolan, and then wiped them on his smeared coverall. Nolan swept into Murdoch's messy laboratory as if entering a party. Though not in party dress, she donned the skin-tight one-piece that had so discomfited Straker, and then added a skirt, a few artistic touches, and a bit of makeup. Now she walked slowly over to the brainiac.
"Hello."
"Hello, gorgeous." Murdoch smiled, revealing stained and gapped teeth. His sour breath hit her in the face like a garbage pail left too long in the sun. "I'm Frank Murdoch." She reminded herself that all these physical defects were fixable. All he needed was some womanly attention and a stint in Trinity's combination regeneration rejuvenation tank. Afterward, if she couldn't convince him, she'd seduce him. Or both.
"I'm Marissa Nolan."
Moving toward an air vent relieved her of the smell and sent her own subtle perfume wafting his way.
"I know all about you, Frank. I can't believe your talents are being wasted in this..."
She brushed backhanded at the air, as if trying to wave away something disgusting.
"This provincial backwater."
"I like it here. I'm in charge of all the machinery. Nobody bothers me except to give me technical problems. Nobody's gonna stab me in the back out here."
"Yes. I heard about what happened with you and that whore, Tashina. It's her loss."
Murdoch did a double take.
"Wait a minute. I know your name. You can't be Marissa Nolan. She's old and decrepit. You're
young and beautiful. You might have heard how I melded with the AI Indy and with Zaxby to form Trinity. We developed a rejuvenation technique that will not only make you young again, but fix any physical problems. Hair loss, for example."
Murdoch's mouth worked as he rubbed his head.
I was looking into scalp regen."
He couldn't seem to keep from running his eyes over her, top to bottom.
"No matter. It's your mind I crave, though."
She took a step toward him.
"I guarantee your body will be a close second."
Ah, Once she got him in the rejuvenation tank, she resolved to turn him into an Adonis and make him her boy toy. Or perhaps not. She'd fix his hair and his teeth and Spotty's skin, but it wouldn't do to make him too handsome. He might start thinking he was too good for her, looking elsewhere for companionship. She had to keep him fixated on her. For a while, anyway. I know I could use some physical improvements. Tashina helped me some, but
forget that bitch. You'll have me. You just have to leave all your lame little toys behind and join us. We're working on some real technical problems out there in the wider world, with machinery beyond your wildest dreams, even alien tech.
Alien tech? She could see Murdoch try to hide his stark enthusiasm. It would be nice to take a break from these small-minded people.
Oh, you'll never have to worry about the small-minded anymore.
She lifted her hair to reveal the tiny augmented data link plugged into her brain link.
This aug keeps me linked to Indy and Zaxby. Together, we're Trinity. You could join us.
I don't think Quadrinity would be much of a name.
That doesn't matter. Trinity has a nice ring to it, but we can always come up with a new name. What matters is we'll have your intellect, and you'll have access to Zaxby's creativity, Indy's processing power, and my body.
She sashayed closer, breathing through her mouth. Murdoch licked his lips.
Okay.
Okay, I'll do it. Just let me grab a few things. He turned to rifle through the mess.
Come to the docking port in 1 hour with whatever you like.
I will.
Oh, and Frank?
Yes, Marissa?
Take a shower first, and put on something clean.
After the showered, less noxious Murdoch dumped his bags and cases in a cabin, Nolan led him to the rejuvenation chamber and tucked him in. Once he was sedated, she allowed her separated consciousness to remeld with Trinity and began to program the machine. In a few weeks, Frank Murdoch would be a totally new man. Unfortunately, Trinity didn't have a few weeks. Every hour was precious. So she prioritized the worst of his corporeal problems, tooth decay, body odor, lack of hair on his head, bad skin, and a persistent malnutrition brought on by a diet too rich in processed snack foods, and set the machine to work as quickly as possible. Soon she'd need his mind, so once the nanocellular reconstruction was underway, she backed off the sedation and knocked on the door of his brain link. Once he'd granted access to his loading matrix, she created a virtual cyber lab with direct connections to Indy. He'd ease deeper and deeper into the meld, and soon he'd be so used to linking with the other three persons that he'd never consider departing. Of course, within the VR world, he was already a handsome man with a pleasant aroma. Nolan further cemented his merging by making love with him as frequently as he liked. It was no sacrifice. It took only a fraction of her distributed consciousness. She even found it pleasant. And she let the others observe. The Zaxby portion seemed constantly fascinated by the details of human mating, and Frank wasn't a bad guy. He just needed the right woman to steer him properly, keep him on track, and help him reach his potential. Trinity's next stop was at Phrenix, the original Ruxin habitat here in the Starfish Nebula and still its seat of government. The old matriarch mother Phrenix, for whom the base was named, still ruled here, as her daughter, Voxana, had gone to take charge of the home world. Of course, it was the Zaxby part of Trinity who met with Phrenix. He'd taken advantage of the rejuvenation tank to trim off the worst of his infirmities, but he couldn't bring himself to set his biological clock back to true youth. Being middle-aged suited him just fine. It gave him an excuse to be crotchety and enhanced his status. He'd also taken the liberty of using the rejuvenation tank to become male. Zaxby enjoyed the deference he received as he locomoted majestically down the watery corridors of the Phoenix Hab. Neuters stepped aside and lowered their eyes. When a female eyed him speculatively, a young male bristled with the instinct to challenge. Zaxby brandished his weapon, a long, slim, uranium railgun penetrator with its center wrapped for ease of grip, forming a kind of spear. Seeing Zaxby's fleet-issue water suit, harness, and sidearm, the warrior retreated out of his way. The other parts of Trinity, observing through the brain link like whispers in his mind, expressed silent amusement. They were so much a part of him now that he joined them in laughing at himself. "Hail, Friedix," Zaxby said as he entered her audience chamber. "The rest of you leave us," he said to her neuter attendants. They quickly backed out and shut the doors.
"Oh, it's you, Zaxby," Phoenix said.
The old matriarch lounged on her throne, periodically plucking snails from a bucket and popping them into her large, slack mouth with audible crunches and smacks.
"I see you've finally gendered. Vaxana always was a soft touch. You're unlikely to have her, though," she sighed. "The young only care about the young."
Zaxby ignored the assumption that Premier Vaxana had given him permission to upgrade from neuter status. He no longer regarded himself as merely Ruxin. He was something much greater, and the Ruxin body was merely a component of himself. As far as he was concerned, that meant he could skirt Ruxin cultural prescriptions with impunity. Though there was no reason to bring that up now. Phoenix, despite her age, seemed quite attractive to him, perhaps because she would be his first since gendering.
"I have become male. Perhaps you'd like to
keep it in your suit. If whatever you have to say pleases me, I'll consider it. Though don't expect to see any offspring. I'm too old for that."
"Surely not. Your eyes glow as brightly as ever."
"Eyes, maybe, but my skin is in terrible shape."
Phoenix sighed and rubbed regretfully at an age spot.
"You should have seen me in my youth."
"I still might. It all depends on how much that youth is worth to you."
"As usual, Zaxby, your lips are jabbering, but you're making no sense. You're male now, so speak plainly. I don't have many good years left."
Zaxby formed a Ruxin smile and stepped forward to take one of Phoenix's tentacles in his own.
"We can change that."
"Change what?"
"The number of good years you have left. You see, I've joined a synthesis of four beings, one of whom is the machine mind the Mind Spark device germinated. Together, we have created a chamber that uses nanotechnology to rejuvenate humans or Ruxins from the genetic code outward."
Phoenix sat forward, all four eyes sharply focused on Zaxby.
"What do you want to trade for it?"
"We won't be trading away the technology. There are too many ramifications simply to let loose in the galaxy, especially at such a time of disruption. Without careful consideration and control, it could cause overpopulation, corruption, and tremendous divisions between those with and without access. However, a few selected worthies, such as yourself, could be given, an extra century or two of life and vigor. What's that worth to you?"
Phoenix folded her tentacles.
"I see you have grown shrewd with your masculinity, Zaxby. My compliments. As you must know, I would give much for rejuvenation. What is it you desire, other than me?"
"To begin, the loan of the Mind Spark device."
"For how long, and for what purpose?"
"Let us say for one standard year. As to purpose, we are not sure yet. Experimentation and research. It was the device that made Indy, but the humans have now created their own stable AI, and it is a fearsome thing.
Zaxby explained about Victory and the recent battle.
We Ruxans may need the device and its AI spawn just to counter this new weapon. To put it to use, we must know what it does and how to best use it.
Granted. Once I see this rejuvenation is real and has no drawbacks, that is.
We also wish to peruse the vault for other interesting items. I understand the device is not the only piece of alien technology you found over the years.
Phrenix settled back on her throne.
Perhaps. Again, provisional to rejuvenation.
I assure you the process is flawless, like you, my dear. When you've been rejuvenated, you may once again think about offspring, and I insist on being your first suitor.
I will consider it.
Well, I can always court Voxana. Perhaps she would like to see the other miracles we have.
Zaxby turned away.
Yes, perhaps it would be better if I simply went straight to the homeworld for what I want.
The homeworld doesn't have the device, nor what's in my vault.
Zaxby turned back.
That's exactly why we're a perfect match, Phrenix. Your daughter thinks she's the ruler of the Ruxin people. How long before she reclaims sovereignty over this nebula? Think how much stronger you would be with me, with us. On your side. The home world has billions of workers, but we would hold the higher technology.
I'm inclined to be persuaded. Let me see this rejuvenation chamber. I wish to have proof.
Zaxby led Phrenix aboard Trinity's ship body and showed her Murdoch lying within the rejuvenator. Already his skin was smooth and blemish-free, his muscle tone was excellent, and his hair had sprouted thick and luxuriant. Trinity loaded images of Murdoch from her database.
Compare this current state with his former.
He does look much improved.
Borgia made to the discussion, look at me.
Zaxby removed his water suit and rotated for a full viewing.
I have clearly rejuvenated.
Both your improvements and Murdoch's could be the result of regeneration and cosmetic surgery. I would need to see a more complete regression to youth to be convinced.
How about me?
Marissa Nolan said, also stripping to the buff. Trinity displayed images of her from her physical old age, and then morphed them slowly toward her current youth to demonstrate that her bone structure had remained unchanged.
I can provide you with DNA records as well.
That is much more impressive, if true.
Why would we lie?
Indy asked.
To get the Mind Spark device.
Trinity now changed the display to a ship's schematic, combined with real-time external views of her ship body, and spoke in Indy's voice.
We have enough weaponry to easily cut our way into Phrenix base and take anything we wanted, if we were willing to do so. Also, if we traded fake rejuvenation for the device, you would soon know, and our relationship would be poisoned. We wouldn't do that. We desire to establish trust and long-term benefits.
Yes, many benefits,
Zaxby said, sidling up to Phrenix.
Back off, you horny old squid. All right, I agree. Stick me in that thing.
It will be ready tomorrow,
Nolan said smoothly.
I have to finish up Frank's initial run. Report here at 0900, and everything will be in place.
The next day, Phrenix arrived early. The Zaxby portion was waiting for her.
How young do you wish to be?
He asked. Phrenix's expression hinted at hidden cleverness.
I gave this some thought. I wish to be physically barely post-pubescent, but to appear approximately 5 years older than Vaxana. This will provide me with the best of both situations. Is this possible?
Absolutely, and may I say it's a wise choice, my darling, Zaxby said.
And I do not wish my mind or memories to be altered in any way.
Of course, my dear.
Not that I could tell, anyway.
That is true. You'll just have to trust me.
You're not helping your case.
Zaxby touched his torso with the tips of four tentacles.
Me? What cause did I ever give you not to trust me? I've been nothing but helpful.
It's your long association with humans. You can never fully trust them, with their two beady eyes and half as many limbs as normal, and their nasty, sharp, pointy teeth and dry skin with bones inside.
She shuddered. Those are mere surface characteristics, and remember you're making this bargain with all of Trinity, not merely with Zaxby.
Phrenix grumbled, but eventually flowed into the rejuvenation tank and settled herself.
Before you're sedated, Zaxby said, have you instructed the keeper of the vault to give us access to the mind spark device?
Not until I see results.
Results will take days. Full rejuvenation will take longer. We do not have the time to waste. The Republic is in peril, and we must take certain critical actions very soon. You must either trust us or not. There is no middle ground here.
Then let me out of the tank,
Phrenix said stubbornly.
Zaxby will never have a youthful me.
Silence fell for a long moment as Trinity held an internal debate.
We will examine the device later,
Indy said at last.
We must seek Liberator Straker and coordinate with Republic military forces. This may involve going into battle. We might even be destroyed. You may never get another chance, at least not within your limited lifetime.
The chamber's canopy opened.
Farewell.
Phrenix writhed and then sighed, not moving from the tank.
All right, she said. You've called my bluff. I can't take the chance of delay. Patch me through to Jokspor at the vault. I will issue the order.
After she'd made the call, Phrenix was safely sedated. Tiny, semi-organic nanites began altering her toward a more youthful state. Zaxby picked up the device from the vault. He was carefully tempted to offer Jokspor rejuvenation in return for access to everything else there, but reluctantly concluded that step would irreversibly tarnish Trinity's relationship with Phrenix and her regime. Besides, Trinity suspected it would take a long time for even her own superior minds and processing capacity to wring all the secrets out of the Mind Spark device alone. Other alien technologies could wait, for now. As soon as she acquired the Mind Spark device from the Ruxins at Phrenix Base and completed the initial rejuvenation treatment for Phrenix herself, Trinity headed at her best side space speed for Unison 4, or New Earth, as it had been renamed with the new Earthen Republic. After a shockingly short trip, for Trinity was constantly improving the efficiency of her drives and internal systems, she arrived and immediately inquired about Derek Straker.
"We ain't heard nothing," Johnny Loco Poloco said when they were vid-linked. "I'm really starting to get worried, and he ain't gonna be happy when he hears about..."
"When he hears about Engels, yes," Trinity said. "But we don't know she's dead. There's a very good chance she's a POW, and might be exchanged at some future time."
"If I know Derek, he won't wait long. If he can't get her back by trading prisoners, he'll come up with some harebrained rescue scheme."
"We must face the possibility of Straker himself not coming back, and of the war turning against us with more flagships like Victory, and with our loss of Indomitable. In fact, I suspect the 100 Worlds to have already started working on installing a new AI aboard Indomitable. If they are able to replicate the success of Victory, My analyses show the New Republic losing the war within 6 years.
Loco's projected face turned angry.
That's Indy's fault. Your fault. If you'd stayed as Indomitable's brain, we'd have been unstoppable.
That's highly debatable. I've run analyses on just that question and have come to the conclusion that the disadvantage of not remaining with Indomitable was counterbalanced by the many actions we've been able to take as an independent warship. And, as you should know if you've read the reports, we did control Indomitable in the recent battle at Sparta. It simply wasn't enough against an AI that could directly command and control not only his own ship body, but every single ship in the fleet.
Whatever, Loco said. What's done is done. The big boys and girls have shot their wads, and now it's up to us to pick up the pieces. No Straker, no Engels. We even lost Captain Hoyt, and she was slated for Commodore. Jolin made it back, and some other good captains, but we got hurt. Bad.
We are aware of that. The enemy has been hurt badly as well. Never fear. The issue now is time. They need time to repair Victory and Indomitable. Our advice is not to give it to them.
How? Loco demanded. By some grand attack again? Some super play to make it all work out?
The old American English language used to call that a Hail Mary.
Who's this Mary? Some ancient ruler like Caesar?
Something like that, Trinity answered. I'll forward a couple of history books for you to read.
Between my duties and Campos, I ain't got no time for history books. The Senate promoted me to general, the bastards.
Campos? You're with Medic First Campos? Again?
Lieutenant now, and working on a medical degree, but yeah. I guess even old Loco has to settle down sometime.
Don't get too comfortable. I was about to suggest you join us and go looking for Straker in Opter territory.
Loco's face turned sour as he considered. I'd like to, but too much responsibility here on planet.
You really have changed.
I have a kid on the way. I can't go rampaging on my own now. Not without a better reason than that. I mean, if you really needed me, I'd go, but what can I do that you can't do on your own?
We merely wished to afford you the courtesy of the offer. We think your decision is eminently rational.
That doesn't make me feel any better, Loco grumbled. This is exactly the situation I used to avoid like the plague, having to choose between my gut and my head.
An alert caught Trinity's attention. An Opter ship just arrived at the edge of curved space.
Is it Myrmidon's?
It doesn't match his signature, but it is small. Definitely not a Nest ship, and making no attempt to hide, so not a spy craft.
They soon received an automated hail consisting of one word. Myrmidon.
I suspect we're both off the hook either way, Trinity said.
Either way what? Loco demanded.
Either Straker is on that ship, or he's dead.
Or he's being dissected in some Opter lab.
Let's try to remain optimistic, shall we? Trinity asked. We're heading to meet the ship now. Trinity out.
Trinity expended a prodigious amount of fuel blasting at maximum acceleration to rendezvous with the tiny courier, and transmitted reports ahead in hopes of prompting a response. The first reply came.
Good to hear from you, Trinity, Straker said. We're fine, and I have a lot to report. It's all in an encrypted data file that we're burst transmitting now to the Capitol on a narrow band laser. We'll reset to transmit another copy directly to you. Straker out.
By the time Trinity rendezvoused with the small Opter ship, she digested the thoroughly fascinating report from Straker, detailing his adventures on the strange combination of laboratory, zoo, and habitat called Terra Nova. All parts of her were eager to discuss it with Straker, but there were other matters to settle first.
Chapter 31 Straker, New Earth System. Straker was glad to leave Myrmidon's company and the confines of his ship to board Trinity. The Opterman was always interesting, but disconcerting. Just when Straker was feeling comfortable, some subtle thing would remind him the spy wasn't really human, no matter how well he imitated one. Besides, he kept trying to get Straker to talk philosophy, theology, or ethics. That was fine for a while, but too much made his brain hurt. Three beings were lined up in Trinity's airlock antechamber: Zaxby, Nolan, and a blonde man who looked somehow familiar, a man with a big, white-toothed smile on his face. Straker set his bag on the deck.
Murdoch?
Murdoch bobbed his head self-consciously. In the flesh, Derek. Liberator, Straker, I mean.
Derek will do just fine, Frank.
Great to see you. Had some work done?
Trinity's rejuvenation chamber.
He glanced at Nolan shyly.
And I'm going to join Trinity, have already, sort of, though the meld isn't total yet.
He lifted his hair to show the aug attached at the base of his skull. Straker grimaced and tried not to be creeped out by the thought of losing his mental privacy.
That's your thing, not mine, but whatever fires or thrusters.
Nolan took Murdoch's arm.
Come on, Frank. We've got some more work to do in the lab. The others can brief Straker.
She led Murdoch away. Brief Straker on what? Zaxby ushered Straker into the conference room.
Sit down. Have a drink.
Zaxby poured Straker an ice-cold beer.
Don't try to handle me, Zaxby. By the way, you look different, like Craxor and Dexon. You're male.
I am, but that's not important right now.
Straker sipped warily at his beer and then took a long, deep draft. There'd been none aboard Don's ship.
What's the news?
Zaxby folded his tentacles.
I want you to remain calm as I brief you.
I'm calm. Now spill it.
I just don't want you to go ballistic.
I'm about to, if you don't start talking.
Brace yourself.
I'm braced, damn it.
He slammed his mug on the table and his beer sloshed.
All right. Carla Engels is either dead or in enemy hands.
Straker leaped to his feet, knocking his half-empty beer mug to the floor.
What? How? What the hell did you do this time, Zaxby?
See, I told you you'd go ballistic. I thought it would be better to let Indy tell you or Marissa, but no, they said I'm an old friend of yours, so...
You're not an old friend of mine. I'm not sure you're even a friend at all.
Now, Derek, that's hardly...
Straker looked upward at a vid pickup.
Indy, tell Zaxby to shut the fuck up before I start pulling his arms off and give me a concise briefing. I won't even feel guilty because I know he'll regenerate.
I fail to see how he can both shut the fuck up and brief you at the same time,
Indy's voice replied.
No, I mean, Zaxby should shut the fuck up and you brief me. I'm in no mood for this shit right now.
Straker shoved Zaxby toward the door.
Indy, start talking about Carla.
Zaxby straightened and looked as if he would attack Straker, but then he suddenly deflated and slunk out of the room. Indy provided a summary of what had happened, along with several more beers.
Damn, we lost Indomitable as well as Carla?
He put his face in his hands, letting the enormity of it all sink in. He didn't speak for a time. And neither did anyone else. They didn't dare. Eventually, Straker spoke.
I shouldn't have left. I wonder why I did. Maybe Myrmidon put something in my drink, or did some kind of biotech mind control like Tashina.
Actually, Zaxby began.
Shut up. Indy, finish the report. Give me more details on Indomitable.
Straker digested the information along with more beer. After that, he'd recovered enough to lock down his emotions and converse in an even tone.
I'm going to assume she's alive, he said at last.
We'll go pick up Loco and head for Sparta. We'll need our mech suits with a platoon of battle suitors as backup. Do we have any high-profile POWs we could trade for Carla?
Admiral Braga and a number of his ranking officers are still interned, Zaxby said.
They refused to defect, even though they know of the lies the 100 worlds told them.
He always was a by-the-book son of a bitch, Straker said. Gotta admire his loyalty, even when his own government betrayed him.
And you.
And me, Straker agreed. As far as I'm concerned, the 100 worlds betrayed everyone by claiming to be fighting aliens and not humans, and then piled lies on top of more lies to keep that story going.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive.
Shakespeare? Straker asked.
Sir Walter Scott, actually, Zaxby said.
Never heard of him.
That's because you read history and military treatises, not literature. He was quite a well-known personage in 19th century Britain. He did write a biography of Napoleon Bonaparte you might like.
Do you have it?
I have Scott's complete works.
Fine, Straker said. I could use something thoughtful to ease my shock. I'll read it in sidespace on the way.
You may get some resistance from General Poloco.
Loco's a general now? Straker asked in surprise.
He did take charge of all the liberation ground forces in your absence.
What kind of resistance?
He seems to be settling into his command role, Zaxby said, and has also formed a stable relationship with Ms. Campos, who is expecting.
Expecting? As in having a kid? Straker demanded. With Loco?
That is assumed.
Gods and monsters, I go on a spy mission for a couple months and everybody loses their minds.
I think it's a nice change for General Poloco to be acting responsibly, Trinity huffed. If you thought about it, you'd agree.
Yeah, just when I need him to be his usual crazy self and come along as my sidekick on another batshit crazy scheme, he settles down, assuming that's the real story.
You needn't take my word for it. Message him yourself.
I will. Straker recorded a message and sent it on ahead to Loco on New Earth. When he received the reply, it consisted of only 3 words.
Let's do it.
Set course for New Earth, min time pickup, Straker told Trinity.
Way ahead of you, Liberator,
Trinity replied.
We're halfway there already. Loco or not, we need to load your mech suits and the breakers you wish to deploy. I've taken the liberty of creating a recommended organization and loadout chart based on the available troops and our transport capacity.
Trinity put up several graphics. 2 platoons of battle suitors, Straker read aloud. 4 aerospace drones, our 2 mech suits, and a spare. Looks good, though sparse. I thought you had more room aboard this hull, considering you don't have any crew.
Much of my capacity is now taken up with laboratories and research facilities. I'm considering enlarging myself, but doing so would reduce my speed and maneuverability, so I've been reluctant.
Straker pointed at a screen. What's this note here? Combat?
It's my android combat robot prototype.
The conference room door opened, and a humanoid robot walked in. It had a military look and a fully armed chassis, but carried no weapons. It waved a 5-fingered hand at Straker.
Hello, Derek.
How's it different from other man-shaped battle bots? Straker demanded, curling his lip at the thing. They've been tried before, but mostly they're only used for taking point on heavy assaults or bomb disposal.
That's because, until now, there's been no AI to run it, and only an AI can make it just as effective as a battle suitor. Perhaps more so. In this case, it's fully humanoid in order to be able to use all standard weapons. It could even put on a battlesuit for extra combat utility.
Straker rubbed his jaw. Could it operate a mech suit? Trinity paused.
That's something I hadn't thought of, but yes. Or to be more precise, I could operate both the bot and the mech suit as an integrated system.
I might have just talked myself out of a job, huh?
Not quite, Trinity replied. There's still the problem of enemy jamming. It can break an external data link. However, I have a prototype FTL comlink that might be unjammable, except by another such transmitter. Victory might be able to do it, but I should be able to bypass any lesser intelligence.
Then let's hope Victory is nowhere near our rescue attempt.
Liberator Straker,
Trinity began.
I find myself compelled to ask, Is it worth risking my person and your own, plus many lesser lives, in order to recover your mate? Perhaps we should handle this through diplomatic channels.
Straker bristled.